Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Get rid of the grubs, but keep the earthworms. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we have a pair of questions, including one about earthworms. But first, Julie in Philadelphia submitted a question at WGLT.org/grow, and she is wondering about taking proper care of gardening tools, shovels, hoes, hand tools, as well as blowers, mowers, and weed trimmers. You take care of the tools, and the tools will take care of your yard.
That's right, and many gardeners have a great deal of pride in the ownership and care of their tools. And it's not just with active gardeners. It's also with the more sedentary gardeners. So they may have a favorite trowel compared to the active gardener might have a favorite round point spade and scoop shovel. Nonetheless, if you didn't put them to bed perfectly ready to go, because we have talked about that before, it's not too late to put a nice edge on those shovels, for example.
Well, how do I do that?
You can do it with a handheld drill that has a sharpening wheel on the end of it. They're very inexpensive and quite effective.
Okay.
Some people are fortunate to have like a bench grinder or a handheld grinder.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fastest way to quickly put an edge on.
Is there an analog way to do it too?
There is. It is a handheld metal file.
Okay.
And they actually work very well in conjunction with a bucket full of sand. Laura, we talked about that before.
Yeah. You keep that stored in the sand.
Right. And you plunge the blade of your shovels, that would, you know, all kinds, round points, cutting spades, long neck spades. You plunge them down into that coarse sand, and it cleans the soil and grit off of the shovel most of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So what's left could easily be brushed away with a wire brush. And then it's also important, and I think friendly, to keep the handles clear of muddy handprints and things like that. That way, when you're ready to use them the next time, it might only be for a second, and you won't have to go and do a big cleanup afterwards.
What about like mowers and weed trimmers?
I think the key on mowers and weed trimmers is having a good, fresh fuel reservoir filled with the appropriate fuel, and to keep the air cleaner elements on a lot of old and new equipment. There's a little piece of synthetic styrofoam that's inside of the air intake.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping that clean allows the appropriate amount of oxygen to mix with the gas, and it reduces the toxicity of that discharge, that exhaust that comes out of a lot of power mowers, blowers, string trimmers. Good time to plug the battery-operated ones. I had a conversation with Mike McCurdy a while back.
Mike McCurdy, our program director here at GLT.
Thank you, Laura. That's who I was talking about. He's putting some of these battery-powered tool kits to use at his property and having great success with them. They're featured at a lot of landscaping trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are thinking about putting the old dinosaurs to rest, consider the battery-powered ones because they're quieter, there's less vibration, so that's less stress on your joints and muscles.
Mm.
But generally speaking, cleanliness is the best way to manage your equipment, and sharp blades are important too.
With regards to like weed trimmer, the ones with the string thing, do you have to replace that string thing yearly?
I think that you can use a package of string from start to finish in any case, even if it gets a little bit dry rotted. It's just going to be the end that's closest to where you've dispensed it last. The stuff can last for many years. Keeping a nice fresh piece of string on the trimmer all the time is the best.
Oh, so you should be doing that all summer long.
Yeah, because a lot of string trimmers, they feed out the new line as it breaks away. Others, you have to put in a piece of line to fill the head. For the more heavy-duty ones, there's not a big spool of twine spinning down there now. They have little shorter segments.
Ah, okay. Well, you're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, we have some great listener questions.
Awesome.
And we just had one from Julie in Philadelphia. Our next one is from Rich in Leroy, Illinois. And he heard the episode on milky spores about dealing with grubs. And so he says, anytime you attack grubs, you also affect everything in the ground. He wants to know what, if anything, happens to earthworms, because we don't want anything going wrong with those earthworms.
No, earthworms are important. And Aristotle said that earthworms are the intestines of the earth. And
cool.
I think that that's pretty profound for talking about a simple creature like a worm. But they can, in an acre, a normal population of worms can create 36,000 pounds, that's 16 tons, of nutrient-dense castings.
Mm-hmm.
Just by
worm
feeding,
poo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just by feeding on what falls to the ground from the trees and all that kind of stuff, the dead insects and things like that, the snake skin that sloughed off, that gets eaten too.
Yeah, they're not picky. They're the billy goats of the underground world.
And they are super important, as are the billy goats. So
yeah.
you definitely want to pay attention to that. Plus, we talk about integrated pest management here on Grow,
mm-hmm.
and saving the beneficial insects while you attack the less beneficial or invasive insects. That is a fundamental practice.
Well, so, will milky spore hurt earthworms?
No, it won't.
Yay!
No, it won't. And nor does it hurt the bumblebees, or the butterflies, most of the moths. It's a really great thing, but
mm-hmm.
it takes time. It's not instant gratification. We can also use BT. We've talked about that. That's another biological control.
I've used a BT product. I'm telling you, those are great, and they don't hurt the critters.
And when it comes to having grubs in the lawn, we all want to have a beautiful lawn, but grass seed is cheap, and so is earth,
mm-hmm.
soil, bags of soil, and soil amendments. Is it worth having all of these chemicals dumped on your yard to fix a spot that you might be able to repair with some sweat, seed, and soil?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the question you would have to ask yourself. If we go all the way back to diazinon, which was the really first common granular that people used to fight grubworms, Laura,
yeah.
they are bad. I mean, diazinon was linked to large avian kill-offs, so lots of birds died in
mm-hmm.
large numbers. And it's an exposure hazard for people. It's cumulative. It adds up in your body. It doesn't persist, and it persists and it does not break down as
fast.
Well,
please tell me this is banned.
It has been banned. So they started that process in 1988. It finally closed in 2005.
Wow.
But I can tell you, people still have it on their shelves in their gardens,
sheds,
in their garages, and they just don't know that it's illegal. You know,
mm-hmm.
these laws are ones that a lot of us can plead ignorance to because they're not readily accessible to everyone. They're usually related to just who holds the bottle.
Right.
So then we have to say, follow the directions, because it'll tell you what it can harm, whether it's diazinon or something else. Nowadays, there are lots of specified man-made substances that you could use that are far less toxic.
Oh, absolutely.
The toxicity levels for some of these old school and synthetic chemicals are so great that they range from low to moderate, severe, and very severe.
Mm.
So very severe includes the diazinon. So that's something that you definitely don't want to use to control your grubs.
But milky spore?
Milky spore works, and there's a Talstar granular. It's a great product for killing the grubs. It doesn't kill the beneficials. There's a lot of stuff out there to choose from.
But just make sure you're not getting the horrible stuff.
Protect the worms.
Yes. Now, thank you so much for those great questions. Next week on GLT's Grow, we've got another question.
Good.
From Rosa in Utica, Illinois, and she has questions regarding testing dirt. And that doesn't mean that we're going to make it have the SAT or anything like that, but we're going to have that next week on GLT's Grow. If you've got a gardening question, by gum, we want to hear from you. Murph would love to tackle that. Go to our website and submit it there, wglt.org/grow.